Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to session four of Careers in Utilities. Our fourth session is hosted by Clancy, and it's not all about flanges. So really exciting to hear what the team from Clancy have for us. Before we get started, I'd just like to do a welcome from the founders. My name's Hayley Monks. I am co-founder of the Women's Utility Network and also Managing Director of Utilities at Go Beyond Partners. So welcome to our Careers in Utilities events. This is session four today, and we're absolutely delighted to be hosting this event for you today. Just a little bit around the Women's Utility Network. So we are about to be 4 years old. As I said, I was one of the founding members, along with my colleagues pictured here, Jo Butlin, Becca Sedler, Angela Pert, and Angie Needle. And we started with one to give women the skills and confidence they needed to build lasting, fulfilling careers in the utilities sector. We each have a lot of experience in the sector, and we come from different backgrounds, and we took different career paths. But the one thing we were all passionate about was actually helping to recruit, develop, and retain women in the sector. And that's what One's all about. And obviously that's what today is all about as well. It's being able to support women across the network and be able to get them involved in long and fulfilling careers in the sector as well. So today's speakers, we have two fabulous speakers today from Clancy. We have Philippa Butson, who joined the Clancy Group 3 years ago, and Philippa heads up their resourcing function. And we also have Amanda Rance. So Amanda Rance joined Clancy 3.5 years ago, initially as their HR business partner, but has since moved into strategic projects as well. And they're going to give us a bit of insight into life at Clancy and the jobs and opportunities that are there. And what we said from the beginning of these sessions today is that careers in utilities are broad and varied. And this is an opportunity to really go behind the scenes and see the kind of roles that are out there, the kind of careers that women are having. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our speakers and let them take over the session.
We'd like to thank the team at Women Utilities Network for giving us the opportunity to speak with you today. We're going to share with you a variety of different opportunities that are available throughout the utilities industry and just tell you a little bit about it. So you let you know it's not all about flange fitting into what pipe fittings and stuff. There is a range of things across the industry. Okay, so a little bit about the two of us. So I am a mum. I've got two boys, aged 7 and 10, been married for about 14 years. When I joined Clancy 3.5 years ago, I was looking for a new challenge. I've worked for very large corporate companies in the past, but the idea of working for a family run business where I could really kind of add some value and have my talents recognised was very appealing. So although I am in HR, I've worked in male-dominated environments from really the start of my career. Various things like pub companies, nightclub companies, Hanson Brick quarries, before joining Alphabet Alpine and then Carillion, where I kind of first came into construction and the utilities environment. But I've always tried to champion anyone trying to progress their career, especially female talent, which in a lot of places does get overlooked. I've been involved with women in leadership networks, working mum networks in the past. So it's always been a keen passion of mine. I was quite keen to replicate those kind of great initiatives when I moved across to Clancy. So I set up the Diversity and Inclusion Steering Group in 2018. We've made some really great strides since then at making it a much more inclusive environment for everyone. But also to encourage people to really think about giving hard work and merit the reward, regardless of gender or ethnicity. So getting managers to really think about the skills and transferable skills in the business rather than all of that technical knowledge that they all have.
So thanks, Amanda. So my name's Philippa, Philippa Batson. So yeah, mum as well, but mine's a bit older, just the one, 15 doing his GCSEs at the moment. So I generally get grunted at several times of a morning and an evening. Also been married for quite a while, so just hit our 21 year anniversary last week. And then the love of my life in that picture there, which is Angus the dog. So prior to joining Clancy in 2019 to head up and look after the resourcing function here, I've been in resourcing for a number of years. I actually started my career back in the 90s, which I can't believe how long ago that is now, but there you go. But yeah, I'd started off in that sort of being a permanence recruiter, and then moved on to take on more managed service roles, where I've looked after companies like SAP, BP and EDF Energy, recruiting sort of their contingent workforce, generally quite sort of senior professionals, IT, etc. So when I joined Clancy, it's quite different coming into this world. And when Amanda sort of approached me and asked me to join her around D&I steering group, I absolutely jumped at the chance. For me, I think the biggest challenge to our continuing success as an organisation is being adequately resourced with the highest calibre of people from all walks of life, and that their values are aligned to our core values. So essentially, it's my responsibility to ensure talented individuals recognise that Clancy and the wider sector that we work in is somewhere that offers a diverse range of really exciting opportunities, and that women will be welcomed into the business and will be supported. So, you know, I think things have really, in the 3 years that I've been here, you know, we're in a very different place. Things have really moved on, and I think now is an absolutely fantastic time for women, if they're not already in the sector, to come and join us, and for those that are, just stay and look at what other opportunities there are and how you can maybe sort of change things up a little bit. So I guess what I should do is give you a bit of an overview, because I'm thinking there's some people on the call today that may never have heard of us before. So we are one of the largest family-owned construction businesses in the UK. We was founded back in 1958 by a gentleman called Michael J. Clancy. And he came, it's quite an inspiring story that he basically came from Ireland with his young family, with probably little more than his toolkit, and got to work laying mains in London, but very quickly realised that there was an opportunity or a gap in the market to basically become a contractor and have people working for him that he could organise and put to work himself. So here we are now in 2021, now led by our CEO, a guy called Matt Cannon, who's Michael J. Clancy's grandson. And what we are today is a contractor, and we specialise in the utility sector. So our clients include the likes of Thames Water, Anglian Water, South East Water, lots of water companies. We're also in that power space with clients including Northern Power Grid and UK Power Networks. So one of the things that we think, you know, that we've kind of recognised as a business is that, you know, as well as that Clancy family that are growing, which you can see from the picture there, actually the families of our employees, our clients, our partners are all growing as well. And actually modern families aren't necessarily your sort of mum, dad, 2.4 kids and a Labrador. So our goal as a business, I guess, it's not about chasing higher revenues. It's about being smart investors. It's about taking the profits and investing them within the business, and so that we're still able to continue supporting the Clancy family, but all of our families that come in all shapes and sizes for the future. Okay. Oh, Amanda, you're on mute.
We don't want to go into too much detail about our values, but wanted to share a little bit about our culture and these kind of these main thing here. So we obviously all have our own list of things that we hold dear, and but there are behaviours that we look for in others and that we want people to see in us as a business as well. So at Clancy, our diverse team brings together a huge range of exceptional skills and attitudes. And the five areas that stand out above all else are these here. It's how we want people to be shaped and how they do their work day in, day out. What would make us special and unique? And hopefully the values that are relevant to every single person in our business, regardless of whether they're a traffic management operative, a repair and maintenance team leader, financial accountant, project manager, or whatever. So every part of the business looks at these values, looking to be ambitious, obviously continuing that entrepreneurial spirit from MJ Clancy, being innovative, so thinking faster, being first at things. So looking some real kind of talent to bring in those new ideas into the business as well. Being easy to do business with, being able and willing to help. Being independent means we can make quick decisions that matter to our client and we can be reactive. Doing what we say, so having that integrity in everything we do. Keeping our promises, being honest and giving good, honest advice. And probably the value that you hear the most of at the moment is the we care. So that might surprise some people who have a perception of our industry being quite kind of that male dominated. But we very much do care about our people, our planet. We put health and safety and well-being above everything else. We work with the communities, not just our clients, to ensure our impact is positive with minimal disruption. We do more and more with the environmental team every year. So really looking for people to come on board and help us with those values in the industry as well, really drive that positive environment.
So today we want to sort of share with you that within this industry you really can build a great career. It's absolutely possible. There's a massive variety of roles that are available. Some that include flanges, but many that don't. We strongly feel that this sector, it provides security, it allows you to change your role and sort of realise your career goals. At the moment, we've got something like 2,300 employees across England and Scotland. And I have to say about 80% of them are male. And a significant number of them are working in quite challenging environmental situations. They could be somewhere out in the cold and wet fixing a burst water main. And we really do want to encourage women into those roles. Of course we do. But we kind of know that actually that might not be what you want to do. And we want you to understand that absolutely that's fine. There's still plenty of other roles out there. You don't have to, and you can grow a senior career as well. You don't have to kind of start on the tools and work your way up, and actually what we've got here is a short film of Holly, who has been with the business for a while, that I'd like to share with you, and I think her story helps to sort of make that point. So I'm going to play, my fingers are crossed that this is going to work. Does that work?
It was initially a 2-week temping job straight from school, and I was meant to go on to college, and yeah, I've been here ever since. At the moment I'm contract performance manager on the multi-utilities. Before I went on maternity leave, I was the contract performance manager on the Thames Water framework, so I've predominantly been doing performance related roles for the last sort of 10 years. The thing that I like about the performance roles is you can get involved in all the different departments. You're not just pigeonholed into one. So I get to work across all the different departments, and that's what I like about the role. Initially, I was the reinstatement administrator when I first started, and a year and a half after working here, I really wanted to sort of be out and about on the in the field, more of like a supervisor role. So I asked my line manager, is it a possibility? Could I become a supervisor? I know girls don't really do it in this industry. I didn't know of anyone. And the company was like, yeah, if that's what you want to do, we'll put you through the course. And I was a bit nervous at the start, and I thought, oh no, actually, maybe I expected them to say no, if I'm honest with you. And they were like, no, it'd be brilliant. If that's what you want to do, we'll do it. So all of a sudden, we were trying to find a high-vis jacket that would fit me, because they didn't really come in my small size. And I did the course, and I was a supervisor. And I did worry, would anyone respect me? Would having a female, younger supervisor? But actually, everyone was really supportive of it. They were like, good on you, can't believe you've done it, well done. It's not always an easy course to get through. And I was still new, so I still needed support. And actually, the guys in the field that I was supervising, I had someone else helping me, they supported me through that as well. So it was like a journey, and everyone was really proud of me and wanted me to do well. And yeah, it was nice. It's amazing the amount of support that Clancy have given me over the years, because all the different job roles and departments and frameworks that I've worked on have always been through either my line managers or other people within the business identifying me for the opportunity and pushing me towards it. Some of the job roles that I've done, I would never have thought about or didn't think that I was good enough or wasn't qualified enough for. So they've really kind of opened up them opportunities and encouraged me and made me feel like I was good enough and I'd be good at anything that I do. That's how they make me feel. Even when I come back from maternity leave, I was off for a whole year and I actually come back to a promotion. So part of my kit days was discussions on potential new job roles that they were having lined up for me. Should I, if I, when I return, to which I did. So it was even exciting from leaving the baby at home to coming into a new challenge.
So actually, I'd like to just say as well, with Holly, actually, she's, since that filming, she's actually been promoted again. She's doing really well, and the role that she's in now, it covers so many areas. So she's continuing, you know, a really fantastic career with us. Amanda.
Okay. Our industry is rapidly innovating, and the roles that we do have suit almost every level and every skill set. Within our central services team, there's a load of room to grow, scope to grow within either a traditional function, such as finance or commercial. But many of our staff start in support roles and move into operational roles as well. So in operations, we have everything from contract support manager, which Holly was talking about, the planners and supervisors, site managers, project managers. We have our health, safety and environment team. We have a huge number of women now moving into health and safety, and especially in the environment aspect of that role. We have business support services. So that's all the kind of traditional procurement, bid support, marketing, customer services and such like, as well as kind of commercial, finance, IT and logistics. But across all of those job families, what we're finding is that the most important skills we need in the industry are things such as relationship management. So that's relationships with our clients, with our stakeholders, both internal and external, with our employees. So it's really looking at those really good soft skills of how to build and maintain those relationships, how to present information, talk in meetings, that sort of thing. People management skills, we really do need to kind of upskill a lot of our guys who have that technical knowledge that don't have those softer skills to be able to manage people, engage people, manage performance, drive performance. So that's a really good skill that the industry needs to upskill those that are already in the business. Project and change management, so the busy organisation that's constantly driving for change, driving for results, we need people to come in and manage change programmes and project delivery. And then just having some commercial acumen, so understanding how to run budgets and P&Ls and understand the numbers. So all of those skills are required for across all of our job families, and none of them require you to have technical, you know, knowledge necessarily. Although that is always a bonus, it's things that you can learn on the job. And we have people that have moved from operational roles or moved from support roles into operational roles that have easily been able to pick up the jargon and understand all the abbreviations as they move into their new roles.
we've got another film to share.
I've been working for Clancy now for a number of years. Actually, I joined Clancy when I first left school. Why I enjoy working for Clancy is it's a family business with family values, which has, as a mother of two myself, it's supported me through my career and with my growing family. I've had lots of experience around the business. I've worked out on the contracts for a number of years, and about 10, 11 years ago, I came and joined the IT team, and now I'm head of IT. Construction is a male-dominated industry. I've been lucky enough to work for Clancy since I left school, have my family and work in several different roles which Clancy has supported me through. I'd recommend anyone joining Clancy's, especially the girls, as anybody can thrive in this industry.
Okay, so what I would say, obviously she's talking about Clancy, but I would say before Felicity's saying there, it kind of resonates across the sector. I don't think we are unique in being the only company that's offering women really great support to change up their career and realise their goals. So in case you think we're doing being a bit too salesy on the Clancy bit there. So I think it does go a lot wider. Okay. So in terms of practical advice, and I really hope you don't feel like we're sort of teaching Nan to suck eggs here. It's pretty straightforward, but I'm going to go through it anyway. So what I would say is I think that in the film that we showed of Holly, I think that she was being really modest. When she was saying that people were approaching her. The reason she was being approached and has been approached several times is because she's really pushed herself forward and made her ambitions known. She said to the guys, I'd like to be a supervisor. She kind of put it out there. So I think really the best advice that we can give is, first of all, sort of investigate, what do you want to do? There is so much out there, and it might feel quite daunting when you see actually the variety and diversity of role that is available, but really take some time, go through it, get some advice from other people, and then when you think there's a few things there that you like the look of, our advice is, who does that role at the moment that you know, approach them, ask them how did they do it, what are the skills that they use every day to make them successful. I would say if you're already in the utility sector, speak with your internal HR and recruitment teams, share your ambitions with them. It puts you on their radar. And you can see, it gets that conversation going. So when they are recruiting for that dream role that you're looking for, they can sort of go, I remember that conversation. I would also say that, obviously, one are brilliant, they're there to offer help. If you're not already a member, I'd absolutely encourage you to sign up as soon as possible, really. In terms of skills analysis and development, I think, and I listened to one of the calls earlier and someone asked a question around, well, I've got a load of transferable skills, how do I make that move? I know I've got them, but how do I move forward? So I think it is all about sort of really analysing, looking at what skills you've got and reflecting on absolutely what you can transfer over, and then being really conscious of the ones where you maybe don't have, or there's a bit of a gap. And then looking at what you can do to close that gap. What can you do proactively? There's so many resources out there now. I mean, is it something that your current organization can help you with to achieve, or is it something you kind of want to take into your own hands and do yourself? But I would say never leave your learning up to somebody else to approach you. It's always something that you should take absolute sort of control and ownership of. What I would say is that when you are looking at making that move and there is a situation where you have got maybe some of the skills missing and you see these roles, don't hold back, go for it anyway, because I think when you look at a job role or an advert and it's got this nice little wish list of we're looking for X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. And if don't sort of think because you're not 100% skills matched to what the job advert says, you don't have to be 100% skills match. I think most recruiters, most employers know it's a wish list and they expect there to be, well, they've got this, but they haven't got that, but they've got this instead. And that's fine. I think the one thing that I would say or caveat that with is, you know, obviously if you're kind of going really sort of wildly out there, something that's completely different, is to make sure that you've got a really good supporting cover letter to go with that CV that makes it really clear that you understand where your skills are transferable, what's relevant, and then allude to the ones that you haven't got at the moment. Well, what are you doing proactively to close that gap? But one of the things I would say is, you know, when you're going for it is don't be afraid to make contact with the director of the area or the manager of the area that you want to work in. Go and talk to them, let them know about your interest and what you're doing about it, you know, because, you know, someone came to me and said, I've never done recruitment before, but I'm really interested. I've gone off and I've looked at this and I found out this and this is what I've done and I know this is what I've got here, which is great, but I haven't got that. I'd be really impressed personally. I'd think, wow, that's the right attitude, the right behaviour that, you know, we can teach somebody, you know, the technical stuff. And we've actually got a lot of people in our business already that know the technical stuff. We need some of those other skills that Amanda was talking about earlier, the softer skills that are sometimes lacking. So Amanda, I'll let you pick this slide up. It's some of our colleagues that work with us.
So we don't want you to just take our word for it. Here is some kind of quotes from some people across the business in a variety of different areas. So Rhiannon, who's one of our environmental advisors, she's saying the job is varied in nature, every project's differently. You know, she's liked the fact that she's been able to get out on site, and her advice to any women thinking of getting into the sector was to go for it. Mandy is one of our depot managers. She's enjoyed doing the work that she was always told as a youngster that girls didn't do that sort of job. And she's loving the fact that she manages a team of men, and she'd recommend again any women to take on that challenge and work in this male dominated industry. Every year more and more women are joining, so come and join in. Harriet is one of our health and safety advisors. She's loving the variety in the industry. She has a vast amount of experience that and knowledge that she can learn from other people in the gangs. But what she's finding is that everyone's been very welcoming. There's been massive amount of support from line managers and supervisors. And she would 100% recommend working in the industry to learn and challenge yourself. And Amy, who's one of our administrators, she's quite new to the business, but is learning new skills and knowledge. She's learning about vehicle mechanics and plant hire, and it's something that she never thought she'd be able to do. So she'd encourage anybody again to go for it and really see where it takes you.
Absolutely.
And this is just one of our other ladies, Emma Jane, who's she would again say anyone that wants to work in this amazing industry to work with it. She's had a really good career development herself. So she was originally an administrator, and then now she's trained to become a health and safety advisor and get out on site. She doesn't mind getting murky and getting out on site with her boots and hats on. She's always been treated really well and she loves the industry. And we've just got a short clip of her to just talk about her experience.
Okay. Currency Group 12 years ago, originally as a part-time administrator for Currency Plant. I looked after all the fleet and vehicles. I was there for 9 years, and when I decided to go full-time as my son got older, I moved to health and safety as a support partner. I wanted to do that after Currency's had a program called Think Safe. So we had a couple of days where they talked about safety, and I really got into it. That I was like, I want to do that. So I spoke to a member of the safety team and said, if there's any jobs going and in full-time for safety, I'd really like to get involved, just keep me posted. And eventually there was a job and they did say to me, yeah, there's a job going, hand your CV in and have an interview. And I was lucky enough to get selected, and I was there for a year and a half. And then after that, I went on to a compliance role, which was brilliant for me. I worked on one of the contracts and it really helped me gain more knowledge. So I was working with water, and now I'm a trainee and a safety advisor, and I'm getting supported by Clancy for all my exams. I've already taken three and I've passed those, and I'm training towards getting my new BOSH, which will be done later on in the year. And I'm doing my street works this month, so hopefully I will be fully qualified and ready to go. Best thing about working for Clancy's is they are a family company, and they do look after you, if not just for work reasons, if you've got personal problems as well, there's always someone to talk to. There's mental health coaches. A while ago, my son was in hospital for 3 weeks, and the team I worked with, they supported me through something that was a really hard time, not just for my son, but for me as well. That was 3 weeks off work, and my team phoned me every day, not to find out when you're coming back to work. It was, how is your boy doing? And it's really meant a lot to me over the years, and I will treasure that anywhere I go. I absolutely love this company for that.
Actually, that's probably one of my favourite videos of Emma. I think she's amazing. And I was actually in the room that day that we was doing the filming, and it was actually really emotional. But again, I mean, I know we're talking, a lot of our films are obviously focused on Clancy, and people saying they love working with Clancy and what we do. But we do feel that this is just a really good demonstration of actually, if people had a perception of the utility sector being really quite hardcore, and strict and not particularly caring, actually I hope we've really, you know, busted that myth, because that's not true. That is not the utility sector that I know and that I've worked in for the last 3 years. Okay, so let me just move that on. That kind of brings us to our last slide of the day, actually, and what we've really, really hoped is that, you know, that both Amanda and I have helped to sort of inspire and encourage those people that aren't in the industry already to sort of really take it seriously and look at it and go, actually, that could be for you. For those that are already in the utility sector, we really hope that we've encouraged you to sort of continue your career and to build on it and push forward and try and realise those career sort of goals and ambitions that you've got, and look at other options. You know, you don't always have to follow a straight line. It can go over here, over there, and somewhere else. And there are resources and lots of things out there to help you achieve that. But yeah, so that's kind of, that's us. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Amanda?
No, I think you've summarised it nicely. Thank you, Philippa.
There we go. I suppose it's this point where we say if anyone's got any questions for us.
Yes, if anyone's got any questions, please feel free to raise a hand or unmute and ask your question directly.
Thank you so much, both of you. It's really fantastic to hear from you, and lots of great content. I suppose one of the questions I had was, you know, you talked about kind of ambition and various other kind of characteristics, skills, that kind of thing made women successful. I wanted to know specifically, if you had to name one thing, what makes women successful in your organisation? And then even perhaps as well, kind of in utilities industry in a more broad sense as well.
It'll be interesting to see if Amanda and I say the same thing here, won't it? Now, I don't know how this would proceed, but there's a word for me that springs to mind, which I think is resilience. And I don't think that's because it's a horrible or a difficult place to work, but it is challenging. It's really busy. So I think resilience is a really great quality. What would you say, Amanda?
I would say it's probably someone who is driven to, because we get a huge amount of pressure from our clients to drive results and hit targets and things. So people that can bring people along the journey and drive everybody in that same direction has been really successful. So someone who can come on board, get everyone engaged, encouraged to go with it, and then, you know, meet deadlines and please the client goes quite a long way, because, you know, the client is still very much king in our world. So if you hit results for them, that tends to be what gets people noticed and talked about lots and praised and obviously given, you know, bigger and better things to move on to as well.
That's great. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thanks.
Any other questions from the rest of our participants?
Just one question from me is, there's 80%, you say, that the workforce is currently male. Yes. Do you set yourself any targets to increase the number of females, or is it just purely those people that are best for the job?
Yeah, we're actually sort of, well, I suppose Amanda probably talked more eloquently than I about our sort of diversity and inclusion objectives, but yeah, we're actually very much looking at what those targets are, and a big part of my role is making sure that, you know, doing events like today, for example, is where we're really actively trying to sort of position ourselves as an employer of choice for female talent. So what we haven't got at the moment is a very specific line in the sand, a percentage of this is what we want to achieve. That's something that we're looking at the moment. We're sort of re-looking at our D&I or everything, you know. Do we start, you know, with, you know, in my world, for example, going, you know, looking at candidate slates and say, you know, 25%, 50% of our candidate slate has to include sort of diversity and stuff like that. So there's a lot for us to still look at. We're still on that journey. But yeah, absolutely. We haven't got.
Yeah, I would say our focus is very much trying to get women into management roles, because less than 1% of our management roles have women in them. So that's where our drive is. As Philippa says, you know, we'll always have a place for people to come and join us on the tools and in operations. But what we really need is more representation at that kind of decision-making level as well. So we're trying to encourage more women, trying to shortlist more women for them to be able to get, once we do get them applying. But it is quite difficult to get them to apply in the first place.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, ladies. That was absolutely excellent. I just want to mention a few more things now before I wrap up today's session. So there are still a couple more sessions for today's careers event, but in terms of what's coming up next after that, then we have the how women can shape the net zero transition beyond COP26. So this is a collaboration between the Women's Utility Network and the Women in Public Affairs. So tickets are available via the WOD website. It is the place to go if you want to look at all the other events and activities we're doing. It's also our very sort of new and easy to use website where you will find our mentoring program. If you want to find a mentor or you want to become a mentor, that's where you would go to sign up. Also encourage you to join our network as well. So you can join our network. Obviously it's free to join the network, and by signing up by the website you also get access to our newsletter as well, which will give you an update on all the events and the things that are happening across the network too. Our podcasts also, just a shout out to those again, you can find those going by the website, or you can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, where you'll be able to get any of those if you search One for All. And finally, just a thank you to our partners. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we do in the Women's Utilities Network, and we wouldn't be able to do what we do for all of our network. So yeah, a big shout out to those. And finally, I'll wrap up the session with a big, huge thank you to our fabulous speakers, Philippa and Amanda. Great job, lovely to have you on board, and thanks for your contribution today.
Hi, thanks for having us.